I was commenting on the weather. It reminds me of home. I feel like I'm already kind of at home. I really want to take the opportunity to express my thanks and humbleness to the elders and the congregation here for inviting me to this gospel meeting. We truly appreciate the presence of each one here, and I appreciated the prayer of John. That was very nice. And our lesson this evening is taken from Psalms 22. And I'd like to, at this time, is to read this entire psalm. So if you will, open up your Bibles to Psalm 22. Psalm 22, beginning at verse 1, it is written, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls at Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto the people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Now, this is a psalm that perhaps some are not very familiar with, yet most are very familiar with the words that Jesus proclaimed while he hung on the cross. And I want you to keep your finger or keep your marker there in Psalms 22. We're going to be repeatedly going back to this psalm, as well as mostly throughout this lesson to the Gospels that we have in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. At this time, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, beginning at verse 33. Mark, chapter 15, beginning at verse 33. It is written, and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? These are the very words that we read in Psalms 22, the very first verse. Now, there are some that I've talked to who believe that Jesus cried out these words because, in a very real sense, his Father was turning away from the sin which he was taking upon himself on the cross. And because of that, many believe that Jesus truly felt forsaken. But perhaps there may have been another reason why Jesus would utter these specific words. Now, I want us to keep in mind two very important facts. The first is this, that Jesus did not utter these words as one who had lost his faith in his Father. On the contrary, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, beginning at verse 44, and especially verse 46, of what Jesus proclaimed as he hung on the cross. Luke, chapter 23, beginning at verse 44, it is written, "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." He hadn't lost faith in his Father, commended his spirit unto his Father in heaven. Jesus had always known what was going to happen to him at the hands of those that would reject him. Here in this gospel, turn back to chapter 9. We're going to read verses 28 through 31. Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 31, it is written, "And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a temple to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who had appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem," the death that he was going to accomplish at Jerusalem. And further, turn to chapter 18 and just note what he proclaimed unto his disciples. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 31, we're going to read through to verse 34. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 31, it is written, "Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken." He knew what was coming. I don't believe that Jesus had lost his faith in the Father. And secondly is this, that everything that Jesus did, everything that he proclaimed while he was on this earth was for a purpose in accordance to God's will, to the Father's will. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and then we're also going to turn to chapter 12, but first, John, chapter 6, I just want to note one verse, and it's verse 38. John chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus declared, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." And then of the words that Jesus proclaimed, turn to chapter 12. We're going to read verses 44 through 50. John chapter 12, beginning at verse 44, it is written, "Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Now, it is a fact that we are not told why Jesus uttered the words that he did that we find in Psalms 22. But the truth remains that he did. One reason could be, and that we already noted, of what some believe, that he actually felt that his Father had forsaken him. But perhaps there's another reason. That reason I want to bring up at the end of this lesson. Now, regardless of the reason, we can gain a better knowledge, a better understanding, a better appreciation, a greater love for our Father and his Son because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. And especially when we realize the great agony that he went through simply because, and most importantly because, of His love for us and for all souls. And thus we can gain a greater love of the Father and of His Son. Indeed, our faith can grow and be firmly established by a study of this psalm, which was written hundreds of years before Jesus lived in this world. This psalm, Psalm 22, perhaps more than any other psalm, prophesies fully the death of Jesus, as well as a great many other things. This psalm, this particular psalm, is quoted or made reference to at least 23 times in the gospel accounts alone. And by examining it, we can better understand why. What I'd like to do this evening is to go through this psalm, not particularly verse by verse, but incorporating verses, some verses together, and going to other scriptures that we find in the New Testament, particularly the gospel accounts, but other books as well, that we might gain a better appreciation of what Jesus went through on the cross for us, and a greater love and trust in our Savior, Jesus Christ. So going back to Psalm 22, I want to read the first two verses again. It is written, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Jesus uttered these words while there was darkness, and yet it was at midday. I found an interesting quote in another article, and I can't remember what the article entitled was, but the quote was coming from a book or an article that had been written by a Dr. Sherman Davis. The book or the article was entitled The Passion of Christ from a Medical Point of View. Thus, he looked at the crucifixion of Christ as a doctor would look at it. And what this article had to say was this, quote, at this point, another phenomenon occurs. As the arms fatigue, great waves of cramps sweep over the muscles, knotting them in deep, relentless, throbbing pain. With these cramps comes the inability to push himself upward. Hanging by his arms, his muscles become paralyzed. Air cannot be drawn into the lungs. Jesus fights to raise himself in order to get even one short breath. Finally, carbon dioxide builds up in the lungs and in the bloodstream, and the cramps partially subside. Spasmodically, he is able to push himself upward and inhale the life-giving oxygen. It was undoubtedly during these periods that he uttered the seven short sentences which are recorded, end quote. Thus, according to this doctor, it would have been very difficult for Jesus to speak at all, and yet there are recorded for us in the Gospels seven short utterances. In all of them, except where he declared, I thirst, and that was done to fulfill Scripture, Jesus showed his concern and his love for all those present, from the thief to those who had crucified him, to his followers, and to his mother. But what Jesus declared in this psalm stands apart from all of the other things that he had declared on that fateful day. Was there a specific reason why? Well, let us go on. Psalm 22, verses 3 through 5, it is written, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. And we find in these verses, the psalm immediately follows what appears to be despair with these words, the words of one whose sole trust was in God. Jesus' sole trust was in his Father. And of course, that's a great lesson for us, that our faith and our trust be as Jesus's was. He had committed his life unto his Father. I want you to turn back with me to Matthew chapter 26. Remember to keep a finger there in Psalms. But in Matthew chapter 26, we're going to begin reading at verse 36. Jesus has come to the place that's called Gethsemane, where he was to be arrested and then finally led to be crucified. But in Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 36, it is written, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then say at the end of them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Come to do the Father's will. Committed his life unto the Father. And of Jesus it is written in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. And for us as well it is written, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, whose own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. He had committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And that's an example that we need to follow today. Further in 1 Peter in chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. Chapter 5, verses 6 through 7, it is written, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Jesus indeed did that very thing toward his Father. Going back to Psalm 22, verses 6 through 8. Psalm 22, verses 6 through 8, it is written, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. We find in these verses that which was fulfilled at the very foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. When you think about what Jesus went through and what he must have looked like after his beating, indeed he was despised, was rejected. He in a kind of sense was a worm, if you will. There's an interesting passage in the book of Isaiah. Most of us are very familiar with Isaiah chapter 53, which entire chapter is a prophecy of Christ, the crucifixion that he was going to suffer and the reason why. But before this chapter are three verses in chapter 52, beginning at verse 13 and through the end of this chapter. Isaiah chapter 52, beginning at verse 13, it is written, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonied or astonished at thee, his visage, his form, his flesh in the sense of you was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. That verse 14 reminds me of what Jesus went through when he was scourged. I read from another doctor's point of view of that scourging, and from what I read, it was sickening. When they scourged him, on his back and his legs, his flesh literally would have been hanging in ribbons because of the beating that he went through. And we're also going to read where he was slapped and spit upon. They had thrust a crown of thorns on his head, and they'd taken a reed and beat him about the head. Indeed, his visage, his bodily form, was so marred more than any man. And that reminds me of what is written there in Psalms 22. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Now I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Jesus has been arrested and they're going to lead him away. And we read at verse 57. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 57. They that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. I wanted to jump now to verse 62. They had already brought forth witnesses, and of course they were false witnesses. And it is written in verse 62, and the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? And what is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless I say unto you, Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard of his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? Well, then they take him to Pilate, who examines him. He realized this man has done nothing worthy of death. Nevertheless, he is persuaded by the people to put Jesus to death. In chapter 27 then, beginning at verse 26, it is written, Then released he Barabbas, this is what Pilate had done, unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And it's so easy to read that, when he had scourged Jesus. If you ever study what a scourging is, it is absolutely sickening what he went through. And they were very, very good, the Roman soldiers, at scourging an individual and yet making sure that that individual did not die. Sometimes they would, but they were very good at it. The suffering that Jesus went through it's hard to fathom what he went through. Continuing on, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus unto the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And I just remembered reading something about this. When they took the robe off of him, it was kind of like ripping a bandage off a wound that had not fully healed. And it would cause the bleeding and the pain all over again when they did this. They put his own clothes back on him. And continuing on, and as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. When he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. And if you go back to Psalm 22, at verse 8, that is in essence what they had said. They proclaimed these words unto Jesus. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Continuing then in Psalm 22, verses 9 through 10, it is written, But thou art he that took me out of the womb, that didst make in me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was a cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Jesus was born into this world to do the Father's will. And as a child, in a very real sense, he was cast upon his Father, if you will, given unto the Father. I want you to turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're going to begin reading at verse 21. It's a rather lengthy reading. I want to read all the way through the entire chapter of this Gospel of Luke, because it's important what is here written of Christ and of the things that were said of him. Luke chapter 2, beginning of verse 21, then, it is written, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, who was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went to day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Indeed, from the womb he was cast upon his father. And that's in essence what we read in Psalms 22. Now going back to that psalm, verse 11, it is written, Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. That's an interesting statement in and of itself. Because there in the garden when Jesus was arrested, indeed there was none to help. All of his disciples had forsaken him. Oh, Peter had followed afar off, but even he had denied him 3 times. But there were none to help. In a very real sense, Jesus was alone. That is, no man was there to help him. Going back to Matthew chapter 26, I want to begin at verse 30. Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 30, it is written, When they had sung a hymn, and this was following the institution of the Lord's Supper, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. We read later on, Jesus has been arrested. And beginning at verse 55, it is written, "In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." You go back there to Psalm 22. "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." The disciples had fled. I want to read now verses 12 through 18. It is written, and this is Psalms 22. "Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouth as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." Again, we find within these verses that which was fulfilled through the death of Jesus upon that cruel cross. Verses 12 through 13 speaks about these bulls. "I liken these bulls unto the rulers, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the priests that had gathered there to watch Jesus die." You know what's interesting about the scribes and Pharisees? The last thing that they wanted to do was to fulfill Scripture concerning this man. And yet their very actions fulfilled Scripture. Do you think they would have been there to watch these two thieves be crucified? They were there because Jesus was being crucified. They wanted to be there. They had, in a sense, surrounded him. They gaped upon him with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. You go back to Mark chapter 15, beginning at verse 27. Mark chapter 15, beginning at verse 27, it is written, "And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand, the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him." And then you go back there to Psalms 22. Verse 14, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels." I read in that same doctor's view of this crucifixion that indeed his bones would have been out of the joint. As he hung there, they would have come out of the joints. I've never had that happen. I was playing basketball once with a friend of mine, and he dislocated his little finger, and I'd never seen anything like that. And he wanted me to straighten it. I did, and it was kind of sickening. Just his little finger. But Jesus, as he's hanging there on the cross, according to this doctor, indeed his bones would have been out of joint. I can't imagine that kind of pain that he went through just from that. "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws." It would have been just tremendous thirst that he was suffering on the cross. "They pierced my hands and my feet," and that's interesting. As I understand history, when this was written hundreds of years ago, crucifixion had not even been dreamed of as a form of torture. But in the days of Jesus, that's exactly what they did. They didn't do it with the kind of nails that you think of today, but very rough metal spikes driven into the hands and feet. And you can be sure that the Roman soldiers who did this didn't do it gently. They knew how to cause excruciating pain. And I just cannot imagine what it would have been like. As a child, I had stepped on a nail once, and that hurt. Jesus had this done to him, and he went through it for us. He died for us. There at verse 16, "For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me." I think of the dogs as the soldiers and all those that would be, quote unquote, lower than the scribes and the Pharisees as they would look at other individuals. The dogs had encompassed him, if you will. What is written there of them, especially verse 18, "They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." That is exactly what the soldiers did. We can't grasp the significance of that unless you understand that this psalm had been written hundreds of years before the events took place, and yet they happen exactly as they are recorded here in Psalms. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 19. John chapter 19, I want to begin reading at verse 23. John chapter 19, beginning at verse 23, it is written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did." And then you drop on down when Jesus had already died, and they wanted the bodies taken down from the cross, that is, the Jews. At verse 31, "The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away." They did this so that they would suffocate, so that they could no longer push themselves up and take in the life-giving oxygen. So they would break their legs so they couldn't lift up and breathe. "Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And as I understand it, they pierced his side so that it would enter into the heart. They made sure that Jesus was dead." And that's important, because today you're going to hear individuals who would say that Jesus really didn't die on the cross. Well, if he really didn't die, then he's not a savior for us, because he had to die in order to shed his blood that we might have the remission of sins. And it is sad that there are those that would deny that. It continues. "And he that saw bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith truth, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced." Indeed, what he fulfilled on the cross fulfilled the scriptures. Going back to Psalm 22, beginning at verse 19, it is written, "But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, and my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns." He overcame the sword. He overcame the dogs and the bulls. He overcame, if you will, the lion, which I liken unto the devil. He overcame all of these things. Yeah, he was put to death, but he overcame through his resurrection. He was resurrected from the dead. That's what Peter and the apostles preached in Acts chapter 2 to the Jews on the day of Pentecost. And also we find throughout the New Testament that indeed he arose from the dead. I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, at verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, it is written, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Jesus died for us and arose for us to live forever, that he might make intercession for us unto the Father. He overcame the sword, his enemies. He overcame Satan. He overcame death. And then that, he has given unto us that hope of eternal life. The very next verse in Psalm 20, keep your hand there in Hebrews. I'm sorry. I keep a mark there in Hebrews. The very next psalm in Psalm 22 is verse 22. "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee." The writer of Hebrews applies this to Christ. Turn back to chapter 2. I want to begin at verse 9, but that particular verse is found in verse 12. I want to read verses 9 through 18. It is written, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Back there in Psalms 22, a prophecy of our Lord and Savior and of the church, the kingdom, that which Jesus is the head and the king and the Savior of. The following verses, well, really the end of the verses in Psalm 22, I liken unto the church and the truth that Jesus has all authority today, and that there's going to come a day of judgment in which all souls are going to bow before him. I want to read then verses 23 through the end of this psalm. It is written, Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this. And in a sense, we are a people that have been born. And unto us has been declared God's righteousness through his Son. And we who have obeyed the gospel are a part of that kingdom, the great congregation, a seed to serve our Father and to serve our Lord. A seed that needs to go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to plant the seed, if you will. I want you to turn back to the New Testament. First to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and I want to begin at verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 26, it is written, For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That seed of Abraham, the children of the Father. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I want to begin at verse 8. It is written, Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's what Paul proclaimed of himself. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now into the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by or through the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The study of these Psalms and these verses can help us to gain a better knowledge, a better comprehension, a better faith, if you will, of the love of Jesus Christ, of the love that Christ had for all souls, and the giving of his life for all souls. You know, after examining the verses in this psalm with the other scriptures, it's truly amazing how this psalm foretold the life, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as well as the establishment of the kingdom of which Jesus is the King and the Lord of, the Savior of, that is, the church. As I said at the beginning, I wanted to offer you perhaps another reason why Jesus uttered these words on the cross. This is my personal belief, because you're not going to find a reason in the Scripture of why Jesus uttered those specific words on the cross. I have this reason because I do not believe that he uttered the words because he thought his Father had forsaken him. Now think for a moment of the foot of the cross and who was there. Surrounding him at the cross were those like the rulers, the scribes, and the Pharisees, who would have known the Old Testament scriptures, especially the Psalms of David. And afar off were those who had followed him throughout his earthly ministry. It is thus entirely possible that Jesus uttered these words to point to these precious souls back to this psalm, and then unto him. And that perhaps, if they went back and studied that psalm like we did this evening, they might come to a realization, you know what? Jesus was who he said he was. You know what's interesting is what Simeon proclaimed unto Joseph and Mary. I want you to turn back to Luke chapter 2. We already read this. But it's interesting what he proclaimed at verse 34. This is Luke chapter 2 at verse 34. Luke chapter 2 at verse 34, it is written, "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel." And we're told in Acts that many of the priests were obedient unto the faith. It's very possible that some of those who had gathered there at the cross, after Jesus had died, and perhaps reflecting upon what Jesus uttered, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And thinking to themselves, you know, that's the beginning of one of the Psalms of David. It's entirely possible that perhaps some of them souls read that psalm and realized what they had witnessed had been fulfilled in their very eyes. What had been written hundreds of years, they witnessed a fulfillment of, and they were a part of that. Perhaps also he uttered these words for his followers, who also would have known the Psalms, that their faith might be more firmly grounded, that he indeed is the Christ that was to come into the world, the Messiah, the Savior. And of course, his disciples would go on to proclaim the gospel, the good news, that the Father loved the world so much that he had given his Son, that souls might be saved. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 24, of what Jesus proclaimed unto his disciples following his resurrection and shortly before his ascension. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 44, it is written, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And they were witnesses of his resurrection. Psalm 22 is an important psalm, because of the things that are brought out there, the things that were fulfilled in the death of Jesus Christ. And perhaps our study this evening has caused some of us to have a better appreciation of what Jesus went through for us, a better understanding concerning the Old Testament, perhaps be to be better equipped to go out and to others, those that are still lost in sin, and proclaim unto them the good news that Jesus was crucified for them. Now, Jesus had commanded his apostles to go out and preach the gospel. Those who believed and were baptized would be saved. Those who believed not would be condemned. Perhaps there is one here this evening who has not obeyed the gospel, but they believe in Jesus. And they realize that they need to turn away from the course of this world to follow the narrow path that leads into the Father, to truly repent. But they've yet to make that good confession as the eunuch made, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They've yet to be baptized for the remission of sins and added by the Lord to his kingdom. If you're here this evening, you understand what you need to do, you've yet to make that decision, don't wait. And we're here to assist you in that endeavor. God extends his invitation to you this evening to become a child of his. Perhaps you're here and you don't understand, then come to us. We'll open up the Word of God. We don't want you to take our word for the things presented, but to go to God's Word. Or perhaps you're here and you've fallen by the wayside. You've gotten out of the narrow way that leads to eternal life. It's not too late to come back. As long as you live in this world, there's that opportunity. Now, God extends that invitation to you this evening. If you are a subject to that, then please come forward right now while we all stand and sing this invitation song. Yeah.